Glory to God for this year's conference. Like I've said in the prayer, it was on Sunday that we gathered here, and God led us to make a decision that we called our national conference the way we have done it this year. And God has surprised everybody. We have had such a tremendous success that we really, really are very grateful. But without the technical crew that has worked so well, so efficiently, we wouldn't have been where we are today at this conference. And so I want to thank you tremendously for all the hours you spent making sure that you transmit live what is happening at the main center of the national conference. Let me to say thank our wonderful choir very, very specially. You know, you have blessed our hearts the many hours you spent practicing have really come out very, very well. We are very, very proud of you. And when you give your life and your time in serving the Lord like this, it is not waste of your resources, waste of your time. But for every commitment you make to the Lord in this manner, there is a blessing. We want to thank those who worked in the powerhouse, the kitchen, for us to keep body and soul together. For example, it is in our tradition that the last day of the conference, we don't eat until about now. But the situation is not normal. So we, even though on our program we didn't have lunch, leadership felt that no, these are abnormal situations. And so this conference will have lunch. And so suddenly there was a sudden change. And the CPC wonderfully handled that very, very well. We are very, very thankful. We want to thank the pastor and elders and members of High Level Church for welcoming us in our midst. Of course, we are not surprised. This is our hope. And we have been warmly welcomed here. All the facilities are made available for us to use at will. And we are very, 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 very thankful. We commend the CPC for the job well done. And since this is the first experience we have had in using internet to hold our meetings, we think that if we ask Makudi again to hold this year's conference, it will be better. They will learn more and be able to pass the information to other zones. So we are going to return to Makudi next national conference that we will hold here like this. The details will be released to you in due course. Makudi Zone will set up a CPC. They will make proposals as to theme, as to workshop, as to seminars, as to speakers to handle each of the items. Leadership will decide on the theme of the conference and other issues concerning the conference. COVID-19 permitting, and by the grace of God, we hope that the other gatherings we hold. In fact, like Professor Zaha said, we are going to be in Vandikia sharing the gospel. And by the grace of God, those of you that have indicated their desire to be part of that program, we will communicate fully to you. You'll notice that some of the names were duplicated. That will be sorted out so that one person is serving in one place, not in so many places as it sounded when she was calling names. But that will be sorted out. Like the coordinator said, these lists are going to be with the zonal coordinators so that you can confirm, if you didn't hear very well, where you're going to work during the annual mass evangelism holding in February this year. Between now and then, that time, there will be a lot of activities, there will be training for people, the local people, where we are going, we don't want to involve them, so that when we, after 3 weeks when we leave, we know that some people are on the ground to continue with the work in terms of follow-up, even though we may be visiting as planned by the coordinator of evangelism and discipleship. People must be on the spot that can be linked persons to continue to be of help to the new converts. All those details will be available as we go into the field in February. Tonight is my responsibility to try to tie things together concerning the issues that God has raised with us at this conference, that as we return to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, our Master, who made a tremendous statement, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, then I cometh where man can walk. But before I do that, let us read two passages for us to raise a few issues before we conclude. First passage I want us to read is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start to read from verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Second passage will be our main text for this conference, John chapter 9, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. For whether we be sober, it is your course. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live on themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. We have made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. John chapter 9, verse 1. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. At the beginning of this conference, we made it very clear that the theme of this conference is about service. And all the speakers, particularly the main speaker, has really done a wonderful, beautiful job how we must go about serving the Lord. As we conclude this conference, I want to raise issues with you concerning what we must know and do if we are going to serve the Lord. Number one is that service is a personal matter. He said, I must. That's the first statement that Jesus Christ, I must. God doesn't call a community like this. He calls you by name, personally. And you have a personal responsibility to answer God. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And as I heard that, I said, here am I. Send me. Jesus heard the call of God upon his life. And he didn't consider the equality with God as something he must hang on. But he laid all of that aside and humbled himself and took up the nature of man.
And he went to the cross. And the Bible says that God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that you and I may become the righteousness of God. I cannot fathom the magnitude of that statement, the depth of that statement, that God will become man, that the creator will become the creature because of the love of God for you and I and for the entire world. It was a personal matter. It was a matter between Jesus and his father. And you know, Jesus answered yes. And so in this statement, in John chapter 9 verse 4, he said, I must. He says, I must. Brothers and sisters, God calls you by name. He calls you specifically. There can be no mistake about it. And if God doesn't call you specifically, there's no way you will be of any consequence to God in terms of sense. He knows precisely your makeup. He knows your abilities. He knows your strength. And so he will call you and assign you where you can serve him best. Jesus Christ said, I must. I must. It is a serious commitment. And if you are going to be serve the Lord, you must make up your mind. You say, I must. God is offering you opportunity to serve him while it is day, while there is opportunity. And it is a personal matter. Don't look on your left. Don't look at your right. He called Peter. He said, feed my lamb. And Peter turned around and saw John. He said, but what about this man? Jesus told Peter, what is that to you? If I say that he will not die, what is that to you? Mind your business. So, brother, sister, mind your business. Jesus Christ knew the call of God on his life. I say, I must identify with what God is doing. You must make up your mind. Have you made up your mind that as for you, you will serve the Lord? Let everything turn around. But as far as I am concerned, I must serve the Lord. It's an individual decision. Like I said at the beginning, I said that this blind man couldn't be out of any help at all, if he would not give a statement to say that once I was blind, but now I can see. And even though see his experience before God finally met up with him, he first called Jesus, the man called Jesus. Then he said Jesus was a prophet. Then he gave so many names. Lastly, he declared Jesus to be the Lord of his life. It's a personal matter. That's the first thing I want us to know. Have you made your relationship with Jesus a personal matter? Never mind about that sister. Never mind about that brother. It's you. It is you. Number two. We see that Jesus Christ said, I must work the works of him that sent me. I must work. Number one thing, he said, I. Secondly, I must work the work of him that sent me.
It's a matter of being steadfast, being committed. That even all the others will reject Jesus Christ, I'm going to follow him to the end. Steadfast. Today, we're jumping up and down for the Lord Jesus Christ. What will happen 2 years after now? What about 5 years after now? What about 10 years after now? Will you still be steadfast? The problem in our church, the anchor is that steadfastness is so much lacking. People who are committed to Jesus Christ in our church are so lacking. Many of them are in the church because of what they can get. And that's the general problem with the church of Jesus Christ. Many are occupying big positions. In our country, pastors are riding, aeroplanes, fly from one place to another. That is the measure that you have arrived. No. God is looking for steadfastness, for commitment. For commitment. He said, I must walk of him that sent me. And Jesus made this statement in spite of the mishandling of the religious leaders in those days. They had just come out of the temple and they were insulting him. He didn't give up. If you have a little misunderstanding in your local congregation, you run away and go to another church. Become another church member there. You are not fit to serve the Lord if simply because somebody has said something bad against you or has maltreated you, you just abandon your congregation and go to other congregations. The leadership will tell you that I'm standing here. I subjected myself to God. What was the problem? Thieves came and attacked the pastor's house. And they forced the pastor's wife to go and open the Women Fellowship box, and they cut it away with about 1 million naira. You know, in our church, no woman keeps on the box that they keep the money. There must be three keys. The attestant will keep one key. The leader of the women will keep one key, and the wasinya will keep two. If they want to open the box, the three of them must be there. You see, that night that the thieves came, all the three keys were with the pastor's wife. We were wondering what really happened. But that was what happened. And then they come and carried many members to the police to come and investigate all of that. After 3 days, the police drove the pastor away with the elders. So this matter is a matter within your church. It's a matter within your church. So we had just come back from Yon and Awas and Kuhenane and Bebe for our annual evangelism. 1 week after that, the pastor called the whole congregation. That they must come. Everybody must be there. I was an elder at that time. In fact, a member of the committee of the classes of book. So we gather. We've never seen that kind of crowd in that church. The pastor didn't tell us elders why he called that meeting. And so we gather. And then we all came, elders, climbed on the stage. He announced that he has discovered who brought the thieves to come and attack him and his attendant, carry away the woman, and he called my name. That I was the one who brought the thieves. Everybody was shocked. The elders turned and told me to leave the church immediately because the atmosphere was already terrible. I told them, no, I'm not a coward. I refused to go out. And so they constituted a committee to investigate me and a few others. And like a joke, they pronounced that I was to go on when I'm called. I bowed and thanked them. I went away. But the story was a very funny one. This man had just come to our church, and one of the pastors, Pastor Mwasin, when I told him that if you allow this man to remain in this church, you will not enjoy your work. And so they must find a way of me leaving that congregation so that the pastor will enjoy his work. So they put me on discipline. The good thing about this matter was that God had already informed me that was gone. And he warned me very strictly that I should not make any comment. Many brethren came to me and said, why don't you appeal to the classes? Because I was a member of the class. I was the assistant secretary of the class. I would just laugh. But when my brethren was there and just when he came, I don't know the reason why I would not. God told me strictly not to say anything. So I was put on discipline in June. I moved to another church. And in September, they removed me from Kong. When you see me today, do you think that I ever went to Kong? No. Steadfastness. That's why I can stand before you tonight and speak to you from the word of God. It will come to you if you want to serve the Lord. Make no mistake about it. Problems will come to you. Challenges will come to you. Attacks will come to you. What will be your reaction? Some of us have experienced so many of them that they don't make any sense to you. You don't make any sense. But look at what Christ went through in order to go on the cross there for you and for me. At one time he came so tough, he said, Father, Father, please take this cup away from me. But then quickly he remembered and said, not my will, but let your will be done. That is how he asked me. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted, not me. In this world, you have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Young people, you need to be steadfast in the call of God on your life. If you are going to survive in ministry, in serving the Lord, you must be steadfast. Number three. This work, you have to sweat. It is hard work. You will sweat. There is no laziness in the service of God. Not at all. It is hard work. You must sweat. If you go to the field and see where people are, Brother Young, how they're in their old age, walking from compound to compound, struggling to be to
to be a model to members of his team, you'll be surprised. But that is how it must be. It is hard work. You must what? Serving God is not a vacation. Those of you who go on evangelism, you know what I'm talking about. Especially in church where you needed to trek for 4 or 5 kilometers to get to another compound to share the gospel. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. But did you know that when Jesus was here from Nazareth to Jerusalem, the man was gone. There were no bicycles. There were no motorcycles. There were no cars. So for 3.5 years, he went on foot. There was only one time he rode on a donkey's back, but it was a borrowed one. No luxury. If you must serve God, why it is day? It is hard work. You will sweat. But the good thing is that your sweat is never in vain. You will reap the fruits of your labor. As you see many people turn to God in repentance. It pays to serve Jesus. I speak from my heart. He always will that if we do our part, and your part may be to sweat. Don't run away from sweating for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I must walk. But number 4, he said, I must walk while it is day. Brothers and sisters, everywhere God has posted you, it is an opportunity for you to serve the Lord. I remember I worked only for a short period in government, in the Ministry of Education. I headed 2 departments, the departments of higher education and examinations, and then the Department of Inspection and General Services. Wherever I was posted, I told God, the Lord, this is your posting. For goodness sake, Father, help me. And you know, by that time, everything was dry in government. People would come to work and just see not a piece of paper, even a minute on it. When I came to the Department of Inspection, I prayed and asked God, God help me. Help me to make a difference. And so I called a meeting in the department. I said, what is your work in the Department of Inspection and General Services? They say it's to ensure standards. Day in and day out, they will sit in offices. The area officers who were outstationed, they didn't visit a single school because there was no money. I told them that we are going to inspect school. They couldn't believe it. I had an old Peugeot car. And I had a few naira in my pocket. I think it was just 10,000. I said, tomorrow we are going on inspection. They couldn't believe it. But I went to the primary education board and borrowed one station. And so they went inside, and I took my car, drove myself with others inside. I went on inspection. They couldn't believe what they saw in the schools. Complete decay. Nobody was bothered about teaching students. Nobody cared whether they covered the syllabus or not.
In fact, when I looked at the results of schools in Benue, I felt very sad. And that's what how we started. Using my personal car, using my personal resources. And we went down. When I took them all at once, nobody agreed to sit in the office again. Because of the challenges they saw in the school. And then I put a memo to the commissioner. I said, "Commissioner, we are spending money on paying teacher salaries. But the students are not learning anything in school because nobody goes to see whether they are teaching them. I am making a suggestion that when students pay fees, let them pay 20 naira per student to the Ministry of Education. So that the area officers and the headquarters staff can go out and see what teachers are doing. Others, they are cheaters instead of teachers." And the commissioner approved that quickly. So we started getting money small. You know, the situation in the schools suddenly changed. At the end of the year, I was declared the best director in the whole state. And the governor of Benue State gave me a prize for being the best director in the whole of Benue State. Why? Because I knew the posting to the Department of Inspection was done by God. And I wanted to make an impression that I am a same part of God. Brothers and sisters, realize that where you are sewing on your machine in the market is God's posting. Where in your hospital ward is God's posting. It's a platform on which to show that you are the servant of the Most High God. If you are a student in school, God has posted you there. It's a platform that you can demonstrate that you must serve God. Why it is there? How can God's children, talented people, instead of working hard to show people that this is the way a child of God must live, you go about doing exam practice? It's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. My daughter was in Zaria. And then she sent a call to me here in Boko. Say, "I must come to Zaria." She had never done that to me. So I jumped to the car and straight I went to Zaria. When my daughter saw me, she was so excited. She said, "Daddy, I am in a class with my friend. Her brother is a lecturer. The examination that we were supposed to do in 200 level, the man didn't mark the examination. It is just now that he's marking. And people perform very, very badly. So that this, my daughter's friend, hold her. So come up. See the marks that this man has given you. How many marks do you want me to put there?" My daughter started shivering already. So she went and quickly and called me. She said, "Daddy, this is what has happened. How can I cheat? What kind of message would I pitch to these girls if I find myself doing that kind of thing?" I looked at her face, smiled at her, said, "My daughter, you have done very well. Thank God who helped you not to accept false marks that you didn't earn. Because she too performed very badly in that examination. Do you know that being in that lecture hall is a platform? For you to serve the Lord by your character, by your life, and when they want to involve you in these terrible things, you've got to tell them in their faces that, no, as a child of God, I cannot do this. Serving the Lord. These are what is involved in serving the Lord. But I want to tell you that serving the Lord is a joy. It brings you satisfaction. It, that you, like this, can be involved in kingdom work. It's a joy. It's satisfaction. Because God ensures that He motivates us to serve Him. Brethren, as we walk away from this conference, I want you to know that you cannot fail. Because God makes sure that you don't fail. He has given us motivation that will keep us going, even though serving Him is a tough thing. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Four motivations that God gives us. So we keep going until Jesus returns. The first motivation is found in verse 9 to 8. Paul was a man who knew what it meant to suffer for Jesus Christ. If you read chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, you will be amazed the kind of experiences Paul went through. And yet, Paul will not give up. Why? He said that God has motivated him. And that is what I want to share with you today. The first thing that is a motivation for me to serve the Lord is that there is a day of giving account. There is the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. If you look at those verses. The Bible says, Paul says in verse 10, that we all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, including himself. If you are singing in the choir, don't think that you are just entertaining us. The way you sing, the way you come to practices, the way you attend to sessions when you are required to be there, you are going to judge. God is watching how you are carrying it out. If God has given you a talent to play the piano like our wonderful brother here, you know, pianists over the world are very difficult people. I hope you are not. I sang in a choir for many years in the school, so I know what I'm talking about. They can be difficult. But the way we will not give up is because I am going to give an account of my walk before God. Paul calls it the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. To come and give an account. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 10, is that the day you were born, you were recruited as a builder of the church of Jesus Christ. Paul says, therefore, let each one of us mind how we build. Mind how we build. The how can be with gold or stone or silver. But the other how can be wood, hay, and stubble. He said, on that day, God is going to bring a fire to try your works. Was he sure of that you have a beautiful voice? Or you are singing to serve the Lord, to minister to the hearts of people? Or you are showing that you can sing very well. When my daughters got up here to sing, when our main speaker asked them to come and join us, it was just wonderful. Beautiful voices. Is that a show? Or is a ministry to our lives, to my life? God is going to reward you for that. But if all your singing was that, it is sure. Or you are singing to make money, make an album and sell it and get money. Your own is going to be grass. The thing will burn up. The reason why I am sweating, the reason why I can take insults, is because I'm waiting for the commendation of my Father. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's all that I'm waiting for. That's why I will never give up. Will you give up? Sometimes we have misunderstanding among ourselves. Because of that, we can't come to choir practice. Because that at the time, the choir master said something that I didn't like it. So you don't come to choir practice. Who are you serving? Is the choir master or the Lord? God will ask you. The judgment seat of Christ. Everything we are doing here in the service of the Lord, we are going to give account. And if it is good, He will give us reward accordingly. But if it is not good, He says you'll be saved. But like somebody going through fire. I don't really understand all of that. No, you will not lose your salvation. But you will not get a pension because of the service for God. Brother, let us walk so that when our time here on earth is finished, we will receive a commendation from the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That's the first point I want us to do about the motivation. But number two, we find that in verse 12 to 16. Paul talks about the love of God. Why will I never give up serving the Lord in spite of all the challenges? It is the love of God in my heart. That's why when Jesus was going, He told the disciples never to start any work at all. Because He knew what serving Him involved. He said, don't touch it until you receive power from God. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, and fill them with the love of God. It was wonderful, isn't it? If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says that whatever we do, if it is not motivated by love, it is zero. It is nothing. As a matter of fact, it is minor. But when these people were filled with the Holy Spirit, see how they loved God. Verse 41 of Acts 2 tells that they devoted themselves to fellowship, in breaking bread, in prayers. That was toward God. The Lord Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with your spirit. That's the first commandment. Without the love of God in your heart, you cannot serve God. Number two, not only love towards God, but love to them among themselves. We are told that Barnabas was the first person who started, had a field, sold it, and brought the proceeds to the feet of the apostles. And they shared it according to the needs of everybody.
That was practical. These days we see some brethren that are blessed, they turn around and see other sisters and brothers that are not doing well. Their hearts are never moved. You can't have the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a command. But it was the Holy Spirit that put that love in their hearts. And then you go out to verse 47, we are told that. And every day, the Lord was adding to them the number of those that he saved. Because they went out to evangelize other people. Because of the love of God that pushed them. Paul said, the love of God constrains them. How could a person like Paul, who was beaten 39 strokes, three times, shipwrecked, went hungry, misunderstood and insulted, Paul refused to give up? Because the love of God was in his own heart so much that he couldn't sit down and see people perish. Do you love people? Do you love your parents? Do you love your brothers? Do you love your sisters? How many times do you pray for them? At one time, God challenged my heart. He said, look at your father's house. And you are the head of that family now. I didn't see that as a serious matter before. Then I started praying for them by name. Name by name. And I started seeing what God is doing in the lives of the people that God has made me an overseer. Because of the love of God that he has put in my heart concerning them. Some of them behave very badly. You can easily lose your head because of the terrible behavior of others. But now God has given me a love for them. The love of God compels me or pushes me to continue going on this evangelism, walking many kilometers. If it is not the love of God, my brothers and sisters, it is not easy. Even those of us who go supervising on motorcycles and people, it is not easy, let alone going on foot. But the love of God working practically. It is the love of God that motivates us to serve the Lord. But number three, look at verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The power of the gospel. The gospel transforms lives. And when you see what gospel has done to your life, and how by the power of the Holy Spirit you are able to share the gospel and you see lives transformed, it's amazing. Come to our concluding services at the outreaches. How you see people that are touched by God giving testimonies. You weep. Weep because of joy. That God can do something like that in the lives of people. The gospel has power. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to those who believe. And that is quite true. See how I used to waste my time with Pamon. Over the place. I thought that was life. Until God visited me in my room in Kenneth when I was teaching there. Oh, that the Father will give to me will come unto me, and he that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. I was hearing that verse before, but for the first time, it made such an impact on my life. I met beside my sick spring bed. I said, Jesus. Jesus! Come to me. You said, if I come to you, you will not cast me.
you will not reject me. That day there was a miracle in my life that I had never experienced. The same atmosphere that I used to see every day, everything changed. Even the trees and all the breezes and everything, it was just different. And by the grace of God, I'm standing before you today. But because of that, of the gospel, that Richard had preached over Radio Alwa in 1966. Praise God that today I can testify of the power of the gospel. And I'm sure that if given opportunity, many of you will testify about the power of the gospel. My friend, that's the only thing that can change lives. That is the only thing that can change lives, the gospel. And you and I, like Jesus, must make up our mind that we must do this work while it is day. For night comes where man will walk. But the last motivation that I put down here for us to consider is the fact that God has so honored you and I that we are called ambassadors. We are representing Christ anywhere. So I must be conscious of the fact that I represent Jesus Christ anywhere. I must not make any mistake about it. Ambassador. My wife and I had opportunity of staying in an ambassador's house for 3 weeks. No, I was hearing ambassador. I didn't know that these were are so important. The man who is representing Nigeria is being looked as the president of Nigeria in that country. So I'm a big man. If you see in your eyes you are small, you are not. You are an ambassador. She's representing God wherever you are. That's a motivation. That's a motivation. That I cannot bring the name of my father down because of my conduct, because of my behavior. No! How can I bring the name of my father on the ground for people to match on? No. I am an ambassador working so as to bring a good relationship between that party and my government. That's a big reason. But thank God that God gives us the resources to work as an ambassador in this world. Brothers and sisters, God has called us here and God has invested his word in our lives in such magnitude that we cannot go away from here and be different. We must make up our mind like the Lord Jesus said, I must serve him who said. You see, opportunities don't last forever. You have the opportunity now that God has given you life. May the grace of God be upon each one of us so that this opportunity that God has given us, we will not misuse it, but that we will use it to the glory of God. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, that you will still be singing for God. That you should minister to the lives of other people. That you should see the display, the majesty and the power and the grace of God over your life. And that drawing people to the service of God. So as we go away from this conference, we'll take our responsibility seriously. That at the end of the day, our Father will say, well done, you good and faithful servant.